All right, you know what day it is and you know what time it is. And yes, that was a theme from Shaft. And yes, a great man in my book I grew up with, Isaac Hayes, has passed on, found next to his exercise equipment. I wonder what that's about. Age 65. I wonder what that's about. Bernie Mac, Chicago, checks into a hospital with pneumonia, dead at 50. Two black men, back to back, give pause for thought. Genesis verse 26 comes to mind when I think about it. Let us make man to our image. This image of God in man is not in the body, I have to say. Oh, yeah, it's not in the body. It's in the soul, which is the spiritual substance that I like to talk about. And with the passing of Isaac Hayes, and with the so quick and so thorough demise of Bernie Mac, it does, and I have to pray for their souls and for their salvation and hope that all was right in their universe as they passed over, for I, in both cases, know that it was not expected. Although when it comes to this thing called pneumonia, which is the basis of what Dr. Len is talking about, these diseases, these things that are taking hold of us and how they get a hold of us is another whole show. You know, so that was my little opening. I hope y'all liked it. You are listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour, and this is the host with the most information, Discursive Thinking, Boss RJ. Yes, and it is Sunday, which is my Monday, which tells me to get busy to let you know what's going on now. If anybody understands what went on last week, if you listened to my show last week, I'm very proud to tell you that I told you what to do, and I sold, and it did. It dropped like a lead balloon. I sat over on the side with my knowledge that I had done a good thing. And that good thing is to take what is given and don't take no more. Although today I got just a little beside myself with pride, and that's when God always smacks me down. And I'm talking to you all about what it is that you are doing with your money. What are you doing with it? As the dollar has this miraculous resuscitation act, although we do see in the news that Paulson has decided that he wants to do other things and that he will not stay on as the United States Secretary of Treasury. I guess not. You know, it reminds me of a old Tom Waits. The ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. There's a leak in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. You know, what is he saying? He's talking about killers, thieves, and lawyers. You know, God's away on business. Yeah, and the bad boys are behaving badly. Oh, remember last week I told you about the Caspian crash? I was trying to give you an indication. The Caspian crash, very, 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 very important for you all to look at that. Just type that into your search engine when you have a chance and you're listening to me. And now you got Russia invading Georgia. Georgia, I was just getting ready to write a whole essay on Georgia on my mind, but it had to do with the CDC. It didn't have to do with Russia. But, you know, sometimes the universe will cross your messages and you're still right on time, because these are some serious times. I have been reading what people have been playing this economic game for a long time, and they're shaking their heads in disgust, and they're wondering what the heck is going to happen to America. Well, it's a redundant question, a rhetorical statement. It's a rhetorical question because we know what's going to happen to America. It can only happen. It should happen. And it should happen of our free will as we realize that we can't cash a check that our bank account can't match. And this is the bottom line. But you know, this time of year, it's the day after Nagasaki, and so you know, I continue my revelation about my thoughts in this nation of the ones that contaminated this world in all times and then seem to confuse it by contaminating it some more with the byproducts of that which they created so that they can mask and move away their responsibility away and give it to the government that gave it to them. And it's like this radioactive football that comes across. And I'm not sure whether or not I've ever really made it clear to anybody in the world how I believe about the whole AIDS thing and how I believe that it's all just one mask, one cloak on another and another that actually all works itself out to where the plan is for all of us just to be gone. I mean, that would please them just the most. And you say, who? And you can only look at it from a point of view is that those who are no longer here, but the plan in the bodies of their genetic DNA offspring is still working itself through to the end, because they realize that they have really, with all of the waste and with all of the waste of resources, just waste, it is no more going to be able to support anybody. And so before the final curtain, they don't want a lot of us sitting in the seats, you know, either cheering it on or witnessing it. And this is the truth of the matter. So, you know, we all have to go to sleep. How that happens, that's the kind of interesting thing that we've been watching for a long time. And I've been watching it for a long time because I become aware of it a long time ago. And it isn't a day that doesn't go by that I'm aware of the man-made additions of the foolishness of the insane playing. And although a lot of us have been hypnotized and I guess have been seduced and have been, oh, there's other words that can be used, have promises made to them, have done the work. What's interesting about the work that's being done is that it's truly compartmentalized, you say. It's kind of like the way they built the atom bomb. It's the way they developed the whole idea of nuclear fission in the first place. Everybody had a thought. It all started in Germany. It started with two men, Hahn and Strassmann. It starts there, and it works itself with a woman who escapes and gets to Sweden, and then she's having a thought because she's a mathematics kind of major, kind of physicist, and she has some thoughts, and she sends those thoughts after she gets to Sweden back to her nephew, and her nephew then talks to some hitching-gongs in France, and before you know it, everybody in 1939 is working on this potentiality for this incredible release of energy that had been heralded a long time ago through Einstein. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that's that MC squared stuff. I'm saying you better believe it. E equals MC squared. The revelation was more than anything could be because, you know, one can also think about energy as being a thought. And it has been my premise all along that the mass of my thought could create the kind of electronic explosion that could just jam the circuits of those people who are bringing you this here charade called this here 2008 election and perhaps give you some understanding as to where we may be headed. And we may be headed for another October surprise. And that in itself is something that one must always look at because there have been October surprises for so long that I don't even really want to get into it. Just do yourself a favor and type in October surprise. For those of you who have been dumbed down, for those of you who have not heard what an October surprise is, it's an opportunity that comes along based upon a fabricated situation that is engineered to create a big fervor for one side in an election decision. So therefore, there have been many October surprises. And those of you who are listening to my voice, do your homework. For those of you who are not involved with computers, then call somebody who is and ask them to type it in and tell you. I'm going to play this game to the end because I know, and it isn't so much what I know. It's more how I know what I know. And that is how we all know what we know when we do our homework. And that is a watchword that I'm going to give to all college students out there who are truly trying to get their degrees in philosophy. You really have to understand discursive thought. Type that into the search engine. Discursive thought. I have no speech impediments. Discursive thought. Understand it. Then you'll be able to tolerate the Mission Possible Radio Hour. This is not for the lame or the insane. Although the insane do listen, because my brain does reason. And artificial intelligence is not my source or what it is that I know. It's human intelligence, whether it be alive or dead. Dead men even leave clues. They leave clues in letters. They leave clues in bank accounts. They leave clues all over the place. But when you live in a fascist society, clues mean nothing. Facts mean nothing. All that matters is force, the mass of that force. And if that force is not in motion, that force is not to be feared. And as far as I'm concerned, these guys have been losing motion, have been standing still so long that we've been able to catch up, to catch up. And it is in catching up that we can then move forward and create the force that will set it straight. What is it that I'm going to be talking to you tonight about? It's just 12 minutes into this show. What an opening, huh? What an opening. I want to go back a little bit because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's not important for you to go back. We need to deal with the present. But for me to understand this present, I really want you to understand that there is a past, and that past was engineered, and that past brought us up to the present, which was the past. And so I'm just going to go back to January 20th, 1981 again, and to be talking about how when we're dealing with the problem of intelligence, we then had no problem with intelligence because we had intelligence in the White House just a heartbeat away from the presidency in the name of George H.W. Bush. Now, this oath that he took and then Ronald Reagan took his oath was taken on the west side of the Capitol. Now, why would we do this on the west side of the Capitol? This is the first time that the president took the oath on the west side of the Capitol. Had something to do with your hand being raised in the direction that you are facing as to whether or not you're actually taking an oath. In other words, in some kind of weird Masonic or Mason or Illuminati history, they don't figure it out. If you reverse the oath, you then are working for the underworld. Okay, so then you ask yourself, well, you know, all the presidents, they all have a Bible in their hand. Now, I made you aware of that last week. Well, I went and I checked out, what was Ronald Reagan had the Bible open to when he took the oath? And what did he lay his hand over? This is what I want you to understand. He laid his hand over this, you see. He should have read it. Then we'd all had an indication as to what was getting ready to go on. So I quote it because it's from the 7th chapter, 14th verse of the 2nd Chronicles. And you can check it out for yourself with your nimble little finger. Get yourself a Bible online. And then just type in these numbers, and then you'll understand that I'm weaving this story through the codes, because that's exactly what we're supposed to do, because we fill the earth with clues, because we knew even then who would win and who would lose. So if you haven't gotten there already, I'll give it to you right now. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Okay? This is what he had his hand. Oh, so remember I said that I ain't telling you to go back and think about what he was putting his hand over and taking his oath. And then look at the work, the piece of work that he delivered that is still reverberating through our bank accounts and through our history to this day. Quote, he said on his inaugural day, the economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we as Americans have have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. In the present crisis, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem, unquote. Now, the October surprise of October 18th and 19th of 1980 was the most treasonous thing that could be done by an incoming group of people with or without Ronald Reagan's knowledge, although it is almost impossible for me to believe that. At the October surprise is now, in 2008, looked upon as a conspiracy theory, and that they would have us now believe that it never happened. Now, the reason that they could so boldly stand up now and say that is because they probably killed every witness and everybody that was ever involved with it. But what I want you to understand is that we are talking about a $40 million bribe, and we were talking about a $5 billion shipment in arms. And that shipment of arms started way before Carter was out, but it was a deal that was made that they hold those hostages until after the November 4th election. You see. Now, the reason why they were released on Ronald Reagan's and George Bush's inaugural day was the icing on the cake. When you read Ronald Reagan, if you should ever pick up, but I have done the work. That's why I call myself the boss, because I done did the work for you. I opened up his autobiography, and I actually read what was going on in the limousine the day that they traditionally, you know, have to drive to the Capitol Hall, to the mall, and do their whole thing. Reagan couldn't figure out why it was that Carter was not talking to him, wasn't looking at him, had nothing to say to him, and when it was time for them to go back to the White House and have themselves a little party and show it off, the Carters were gone. They had already moved out. They was gone, and they left the place to Ronnie and Nancy. True story. It's just the way we behave. This is the way we were behaving back then, because they knew, hot last, we are free at last in this Oval Office to just set it, make up time, and they got busy. One of the first things that Ronald Reagan did was give George Bush something to do. This is the man who says he was out of the loop, and we all believed it. But when you read his autobiography, it pained him. He did not want poor George to be like Nelson Rockefeller, you know, and just be like standby equipment. What he wanted was for George to have something to do. So what did he give George something to do? He gave him the overseership, of the financial doings of this here country. And immediately George Bush oversaw, and cut and deregulated all the banks and allowed savings and loans and moms and pops to absorb into commercial loaning and lending businesses. And the next thing you know, bing, bang, bing, we got a savings and loan crisis. We got Arkansas redevelopment finances all up in it. We got Iran-Contra. We got a co-minglings of money. And y'all say, it's too late. Oh, they are gone. No. You know what my vision of the future is? My vision is that we don't have October surprise. And we don't have a November surprise. We just go ahead and we put the very best man in office. And that very best man in office, whoever it is, turns around after he takes his oath. And with George Bush standing right there, and the Vice President Cheney, and the whole Supreme Court all there, they all turn around and they say, go to jail, do not pass go, and do not collect $200. Don't collect a dime. You're under arrest. Yeah. For all that you do, this one's for you. And we return back to a democracy with the Supreme Court that could do its duty. And just because you are, and I say this truly, because it comes from God, just because you accepted that bribe don't mean you have to continue to accept that bribe. And just because they've been threatening you and your family and everything else to get you to vote the way you be voting and ignoring all the evidence and just perjuring yourself. And after the discoveries of Leon Jaworski, the CIA, Watergate, and everything else, divulging, and that just come by accident, but you know what they say. They say that standing on a lie is like standing on an ice cube in the middle of the ocean. You're bound to fall off. Leon Jaworski, every case that he ever handled should be looked at now that the revelation of those 28 Negro officers over there in Washington weren't guilty of anything, and it happened to be a military man, a white man, that hung that poor Italian guy. And those 28 men lived a life, and it was just recently that they actually were vindicated. One, he died the day dang near that he got vindicated, happy with a smile on his face because he knew he had to forgive. He forgave a long time ago. These are the stories of America. Many have been sent with a good word your way, and many you've killed in a variety of ways, and others you've mocked and locked away, America. And this is it. Because we witnessed the suffering and witnessed the shame of uncontrolled greed and financial gain, for that was the basis of slavery, to build the home of the brave and the land of the free. I'm an artist, a poet, and every other kind of thing, don't you know it. The boss is really, really feeling today, folks, and I'm thinking about all it is that I know and how it is that one has to behave themselves in these here times. It's not so much that I fear my government that they're going to shut me up. They can't shut up the truth. It's out there for everybody to discover. And that's the truth. You just have to be willing to look for it. And that's the truth. You're listening to VBSRadio.com. And this is Mission Possible Radio, and I'm the boss. So as we take this station identification, I let you know that there's another one coming. And when that one comes, oh my goodness, you know, that one will make it all just work well. You know what I'm saying? Because if you really understand what's going on, then you understand how many more we're going to have to watch, you know, just instantly be there and then not be there. And this is the judgment. Now, I don't know. I don't know anything about Bernie Mac because I don't watch television, but I know that he was a black man and that he is 50 years old. That's too young. And that he was a comedian, yeah, and that in the, when he was doing his thing with the Obama campaign thing, I think he kind of pissed some people off. I don't know. When people start dropping dead, I start wondering. And I mean dropping dead is that, okay, if he had, maybe he was hiding something. Maybe he had AIDS. You know, that's one of the complications, you know. Black folks ain't too, even though they're the most people dying from this disease, they always want to call it something else. So that could be it too. It's kind of like the way the black man ran off the road, and I found it kind of interesting that they kept saying, he had a friend with him, you know, and I'm like, well, she's a person. I mean, she may not be famous, but we'd like to know if she was okay. And somehow or another, they wouldn't give us no information about this woman that went off to the side of the road with Mr. Man driving, okay? Mr. Free Man driving, I should say. And then we hear about him getting operated on, and then we hear, it's true. He'd been separated, but now he done filed for divorce. What was he doing? Celebrating? Whatever it is. I got questions. You don't have it's none of my business, is it? No, it's my business how they report the news and what they find important. Isn't that what it's all about? And if they do, hello, I hope you call in to just chime right in because you agree with me. Right? But if you don't, I'll love you anyhow, too.
You got that right, Rev.
Uh-oh, that's a familiar That's a familiar voice.
It is. Can you guess who it is? Let's see.
I know who it is. Can I just say that if I had my spyglass, I would see a big ebony footprint.
You would, huh? Well, I'm just calling to say hi and say right on. You're hitting it right on point on everything you're saying.
You know, I was just getting ready to go over my whole Chicago Tribune McCormick thing in a second here. You know, I'm getting ready to tear up Chicago.
Well, I didn't call to interrupt your flow.
No, I don't want you. I didn't think that was what was happening. Just for a moment, why don't you, for my listening audience, tell them who you are and why, what it is that some of what I'm saying and how what you're doing might, you know, we kind of going on the same train, on the same gravy train as we begin to investigate this whole thing.
Well, you have to introduce me to the listening audience.
Well, the listening audience already knows because I said evident footprints because I'm a big fan of yours and we always do that. But yeah, this is Don Nikoloff talking on the phone to the boss, and I love it when Don Nikoloff calls in because he has more than 2 cents, and a lot of times as it takes two in order for it to really solidify, like they say, you know.
Yeah,
more than two gathered together, so as it is here as it is in heaven.
From one researcher to another, you are just hitting all the key points on everything.
Why don't you review a few? Just so that my listeners, because, you know, my listeners, all two of them might be sleeping.
are you prophesying? Yes. Actually, you know, you got your antennas up and the Holy Spirit's showing you what's going on. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since we came out with the news that expect something to happen around the Olympics. And what do we have? On the same day as the Olympics started up, they had this scuffle between Georgia and Russia. Now, the word is that Georgia started it and that the Russians had to go in there and stop it. So what did they do? They killed hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, and destroyed a whole city. Destroyed virtually every building in the city, and it's going to escalate. It's going to get worse. And while that's going on, we got the ships pulling up to Iran, and there's this talk about the United States is going to lose an aircraft carrier with 3,000 to 4,000 men. I mean, come on.
Now,
where's Osama bin Laden in all this?
I have no idea, except that he was the man who asked a really good question back when 2001 happened. You know, the 911. He was quoted as asking the question, who benefited from the partitioning of Palestine? Question mark. He was giving us a clue then.
Mm-hmm.
And that Daniel Pearl, the reporter for the Wall Street Journal, went over to Pakistan and a few other places in Iran and started talking to some people and got some information that he ended up dead.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Because it is about the money and about the Defense Department and their modernization and their idea about actionable intelligence and advanced forces and all the rest of that hoo-ha. It's our intelligence apparatus
that is
out of whack.
Yeah, and if you look at how we went into Afghanistan, and, of course, they had to have the ruse. I mean, where's the logic here? You know, there's. I almost said Obama. Bin Laden. I've been writing about Obama lately. So Bin Laden, you know, supposedly hiding up in the mountains in Tora Bora, and whether or not he was there, that didn't stop them from going in there and taking over the poppy fields. And then what they did is they didn't have to cut a deal with the Chinese. You see, they were ripping off the Chinese left and right. We were borrowing money by the hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions of dollars a pop, from the Chinese, and it was September, October 2006 that they pulled $32 trillion out of their chips accounts. So we knew this in 2006 that this was going to happen. Of course, they also talked about this in the Project for a New American Century. If you remember that document that you can get online that lists all the people that made the decision to attack Iraq and Afghanistan, and create 9/11, a false flag event. That was
Let me throw another name at you. Paulson. He's in the news.
Oh, well, you know, it's a bogus financial prospectus on where the nation is headed. They're just coming up with new ways to steal money. That's it. To hide the money, to steal it, to keep it off the records, out of compliance with Basel II, which the rest of the planet has agreed to adhere to, and that has to do with on-the-table banking, transparent books, and showing source of funds. They cannot do that. They don't intend to do that, and they're hiding the money in offshore accounts. And I've had plenty of guests on Evident Footprints. Recently, George Green agreed with me that the ranch that the Bush family just bought in Paraguay, the 98,840-acre ranch next to Reverend Sun Young Moon's 1.4-million-acre ranch, I mean, come on. He agreed. There's an underground base there. They're probably hiding the gold there. They're getting ready to cut and run because they're going to do the bird flu thing on us. And that's what the Olympics is all about. See, all of this is coming together at one time. Now, if I sound like I'm jumping around all over the place, I am, because they're jumping around all over the place.
Oh, they started fires on every end of the universe in terms of thought as to how they could converge on us and just make the end happen quickly.
Oh, yeah.
There is a question, though, in terms of the whole threat with Georgia in terms of the oil. And I think that when people understand that there are way more countries producing oil that will benefit from all of this, and we're watching right now the oil prices go back up, and we're watching the gold prices go back up, the world is buying the gold. The Americans are selling their wealth, and they've all jumped onto the stock market.
That's part of it, but look at
yeah.
it at face value, Rev, because what
it's
did they do? They provoked, and you know the CIA was behind this whole thing,
yeah.
the PSYOPs. They provoked Georgia into attacking Russia. Now, that keeps Russia busy while they get busy with Israel planning on attacking Iran. That's, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that,
yeah.
you see? And they've got Georgian soldiers over there in Iraq, and they're asking for permission to send them home. The reason they're asking for permission is because they don't want what happened in Spain and in London and in Bali to happen there in Georgia. You see? Because that's what happened. That's what those false flag events were about. It was about troop pullouts. It was about not supporting this insanity to go to another country and murder and plunder and steal. And it wasn't just oil they stole. They stole trillions of dollars in gold. They have made that whole travesty and that great loss of life, including our soldiers. They've made that a cash cow for Halliburton and the Carlyle Group and the Council on Foreign Relations. I mean, this is pure insanity. This is pure psychopathy. So
you know, that Carlyle Group, if you go to their site, well, don't go there. But, because I'm not sure what might happen if you go there. But they pretty much have gone belly up here in Hawaii, if not in the world itself. They haven't met many of their margins lately. But I think they're now defunct and reorganizing.
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're stealing everybody else's money. This is the whole thing they're doing. And that, whether it's Social Security or whatever, they got people focused on, oh, we're going to get universal health care. You call giving 100 million people, 100 million vaccines, health care, universal health care? Come on, wake up, folks. Listen to what they're saying. And it doesn't matter if it's McCain or Obama or Clinton or Bush or Kissinger. It doesn't matter which one of them's talking. They're all singing the same song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And if I sound even more convinced than you ever heard me in the past, that's because I am.
Because the pace is picking up. These are times like, I mean, this week, you know, because I watch the market because that's what I do, and I have read so many economists who are not scratching their head. They're actually pulling their hair out going, what the heck is the board? What are they doing? You know what I'm saying? And yet the masses of people are still playing this paper game.
They don't have a clue what's going on, and they're paid to shut up about what they do know if they get an inkling of it from somebody.
Yeah.
No?
But the good news is that as it all falls, we have to pray more, and that brings people more to God as their Savior and as their strength and in the Bible and all the rest. So then I'd have to put off my boss thing and get back over into the Reverend Roxy thing, you know, which I enjoy so much more than pointing out the dangerous directions that our government is taking us into.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of truth in the Word, and there's a lot of, there is something real in praying. There is something real in repenting and taking responsibility for us allowing this to happen, and then for what we will create. You know, the Lord will empower us to do great things if we repent, if we admit that we, for whatever reason, it's not about casting blame on people, but, you know, they've got everybody inside the box just focused on that new car, that new house, that new furniture, new clothes, new hairdo, new makeup, and nothing about coping with this type of issue. I mean, most people are brain dead when it comes to talking about what's really going on in the world. And those that are awake to it are in great fear, and I challenge them to go back to the Lord and make sure that your trust and your faith is where you proclaim it to be. Put it there, and you will be empowered. You have to be courageous. At some point, you're going to have to be courageous and either come to grips with the fact that you are going to be murdered, or that the Lord is going to have mercy on your soul, and you are going to miraculously be put into another situation. But you have to know that you can accomplish that, and that there's a reason for accomplishing that as a child of God. You know, the last thing I want to do is face my Maker and tell him that I failed in the mission that is this life right now. That's the last thing. And that's the kind of soul-searching we all have to do. We don't, you know, we know who the enemy is already. And it's so easy to get entrapped into what they're doing because they know we know that, you see? So they can play the game on the unwary and on the faithless as well. And it's a hard pill to swallow if you found out that you've been tricked again. This has been going on for thousands of years on this planet. And it's going to change. And it's a question of who wants to be part of the party, you know, who wants to be there when that happens.
Well, I certainly want to be there, because I know that when it's all done and said, I've done my best to bring to the forefront the types of things that we're seeing every day in the news coming forward now. It's almost as if the mainstream can't hold it back. Don't you get that feeling that it's leaking out all over the place, and that they have to somehow or another bring us some facts? They're going to give us some true facts?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no substance to anything they're saying. I mean, it doesn't resonate whatsoever with me. I occasionally take a minute just to see what they're talking about, to see where their propaganda is. I've heard nothing but propaganda from NBC in regard to the Olympics. And, you know, you got two Bushes there and Kissinger. What the heck is Henry Kissinger there for? You see, this
makes you think that with Obama out of the state and the Bushes out of the country, when you got to go check and see where the cabinet is, that they may be planning something for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's where we have to use our discernment. You see, look at what they're doing and just understand that you've been given the opportunity to witness that because it's going to make something else completely clear down the road. It may be a day or two from now, or it may be several weeks from now. But you know, I mean, they just had the Bilderberg meetings in Virginia, in Chantilly, Virginia, a few weeks ago. And all of this stuff is happening. Doesn't anybody notice that this is going on? Doesn't anybody notice that they can't get their email, that they can't get on a website, that they can't get to their own website, that their phone calls are being monitored, that their food is being poisoned, that the air is being poisoned? We had lightning storms in Chicago on the 4th of August. They had 10,000 or more lightning strikes during tornadoes.
Wow.
And I have friends up there that were telling me they were getting 800 lightning strikes. We're not just talking about lightning bolts in the sky. A minute.
That sounds like that EMF and stuff, that electromagnetic frequency and the harp stuff going on there.
Yeah,
with the they say in when in describing it, they describe it as like it is a jolt of electricity, but it's like a million going until it like it has to pulse. It's a pulse thing that is created.
And oh,
it creates fires, and it can create ball lightning and all kinds of things and phenomena. But it's coming from a man-made source, from a machine that is putting out.
And then you've got these private closed-door meetings with Congress, and it's come out now about the bird flu, and it's come out that they're going to crash the economy. I mean, we can see they're crashing the economy, but the intention is to do it definitely by the end of this month and bring it completely down by the beginning of 2009.
Right, which is the end, which then takes me back to what we've been talking about, is that it all goes back to 1901, maybe back to the beginning when you go to the University of Chicago and its first endowment. It's interesting that Chicago Daily, the Detroit, the mayors are going to jail. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news that lets you know that the body politic is not healthy, just like the country is not healthy. So it's reflected in our political leaders.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, now they put this message out, and I've had people on my show. I've had George Green on my show asserting that he's heard high-level people in government and in the business community saying that they're going to reduce the population of the world down to 500 million people, okay?
Is there in the world right now? You know what the population is
roughly now? Rounded off to about 7 million, okay, billion.
7 billion.
7 billion, excuse me, I misspoke. Roughly 7 billion people, give or take a few illegal aliens wherever you are. Okay? I mean, how can you do a count? They're shopping people all over the place. You know,
That's not true.
Just here. They have this problem in Holland. They have this problem in Sweden and England and France and Germany. It's everywhere. Okay? We just don't hear about it here. We don't even hear about what's happening here. And most of the people here are asleep because they're watching Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. And, you know, I'm not going to knock the people that want to.
No, but it was predicted that we should not have idols.
Yeah.
It's funny. I have nothing is left to me to even begin to see it, but it's like it's just right there in your face. Because that's just how stupid it is, you know.
Yeah,
He has a sense of humor.
But you see, I'm from the opening of your show, with Isaac Hayes, and that was interesting because in my career I got to play at the Bar Case, not Isaac Hayes. I played music with them for a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then I was asked at one point to go on the road with Young Hope Unlimited. Okay, Isaac had done some work with them back in the day.
Man, I can't wait to get with you. I hope Dr. Len comes up with a wang dang doodle, you know, so that we can come together and play some music and do what we do. I'd love to jam with you.
Well, you know, I can play. I'm a player. But
I know
but,
you are. I know you are.
Now, I mean music-wise.
Huh?
I
can't
mean,
hear. I got
music.
Chucks going up through
it.
What was that last thing you said?
I said I'm a player, but then I said music.
Oh, okay, Mr. Don.
You know.
Absolute Don, Nikolov, Juan. What's your background? Is your background Russian?
No, Macedonian.
Macedonian, excuse me.
Okay, that's on my father's side.
Uh-huh.
And I have Slovak, German, and Dutch on my mother's side.
So at an early age, did you really understand what it meant to be from that part of the world and how different it was from being like German or to be, you know?
Well, I learned the culture. I've been to all those countries,
and
I've learned the culture of the people. And it's not the people that's the problem. It's the government, you know. It's the controllers, you know. There's nothing wrong with people, you know. This thing about the color of somebody's skin and where they're from, that's not the issue. It's people fronting like they're somebody else, you see?
Uh-huh.
It's the ones that can't be who they really are because they have to deal with their ego. They have to deal with their greed. They have to deal with this insatiable thirst to murder and plunder and steal and rape and sacrifice and harm little children in every way you can conceive. I mean, it's beyond human, you see. It's way beyond human in a multiplicity of ways. So it's not the regular people. I lived amongst people in foreign countries and learned to speak their language and eat their food, learn their music, and become friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sad experience for me to part with those friends because I had made really, really nice friends, you see. So what we're told about other countries and the people there, it's all to control our consciousness. It's all it is. It's to keep us small, to keep us little. But we know what Jesus said about the meek, don't we? The little people. We know what he said about the children.
That's right.
You know? So we mustn't forget those things either. Because
no, we cannot.
That's going to be the new reality. Those things will pass. It will come to pass.
And so why don't you tell everybody what time your show comes on and everything, and I'm going to have you sign off.
I am going to sign off here because I stayed on much too long.
That's all right. I love sometimes having you on just so that I can get a amen and a hallelujah because you know that we have to continue to do this. But everybody, you've been listening to a good friend of mine. I haven't met him face-to-face, but look forward to doing that real soon, Don Nikoloff. And your show comes on, and what is it?
It's Monday through Friday. It's called Evident Footprints, and it's on at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And that's 1 Eastern, midnight Central, and 11 Mountain, for anybody with a calculator.
So, yeah.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, and it wasn't my intention to stay on this long.
Don't worry about it. I held you on. I asked him the question. It's my show.
I called to say hallelujah and amen. Okay?
Thank you, Don.
Okay. And,
all
and
right.
You go head on now. I'm just going to kick back and listen.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you. God
Bye-bye.
Bless you, too.
Okay. Bye now.
Now, you see there, folks. That's just how it is. I just love to hear from that man. You know, he's the one that brought you to Wanta. You know, Wanta Gate. He's been keeping up with all of it. And boy, I'll tell you, that man is a go-getter when it comes to getting his guests. I have a different format, but I love it when, Don, you call in because I do need that amen sometime, especially even in the archives. People say, wow, she got a caller. Wow, another host who really agrees with it. Yes. Because I'm going to deliberately tell you that we're going to continue on with this here thing I'm talking about, which is our intelligence problem. Now, Kennedy said it well back in 62 or 61 after the Bay of Pigs. He said, I got a shadow government that is behind me, and I don't need it. And he tried to get rid of it, and that was his undoing, I would believe, along with a lot of other things he was thinking about. He was an independent kind of thinker, but he had gotten where he had gotten by the deals that were made that were rotten, that have to do with the mafioso father that he had, who liked to do the whole prescription drug thing and the thing with the heroin and the, all and the liquor and everything. They had it going on. That's how they made their money until they got into the movies and stuff. You know, you go back, you talk about Massachusetts Perkins, or Garbisets, all the, anyhow, let me get to it. You know, we have been manipulated, and the true facts are never going to come out if we do not begin to understand how these people operate. Part of that is that they are always working in secret. This is not necessarily a good earmark for a democracy, nor is it for an executive office to be so reorganized that it has no oversight for the things and the decisions that are made, and that we begin to have foreign-born people giving us our intelligence, designing our foreign policy, reacting to other governments in our name. This is why George Washington said, I fear this idea of us getting involved in the intrigues of militant Europe. My goodness, these people, when you talk about war, hey, this is their institution. We're just little babies and to be used because we think everything is a good idea. You know, when you think about it, we were handed a whole bunch of wooey about missile gaps. We were told that we needed liquid-fueled rockets and intercontinental range missiles, and they just kept on throwing all the needs at us and saying that Russia had more, and all of a sudden somebody in Congress said, hey, wait a minute, is this really true? Maybe we need to get some facts. Why don't you go give us some facts? Well, how are you going to get some facts when you got an iron curtain? How much can you see behind an iron curtain? Is it door number 1, 2, or the curtain? I'll fake the curtain, and behind that curtain was a big bluff. Because the way the Russians run their army and the way we run our army in two different ways. They don't have standing armies like us, and they don't have centralized locations where they disperse everything from. They use their army as they need it, and they train them within cycles. And so they train everybody to universal. This is the way it is. So back in the 50s, we handed all this hooey about them having 175 divisions and us only having 50. So we better get busy because there's a gap. There's a gap, you see. And I said, when I looked at these things, I said, yeah, what is the fear here? You know, and I realize the fear is disparity. Uh-huh. This is their fear, disparity, that they are not going to be able to keep up. And now we have so many weapons. And this idea back then and this idea now, this is the truth. The chemtrails and all of that are done for many different reasons. And a lot of those reasons in the beginning were to study the aerosol sprays and how they revolve around the world, and to create the pools and to see where it all goes. That's one way in which they utilize the skies and the contrails and also the chemtrails as they study them. They know when they're going up, they know when they're putting it out, they know when it's drifting, and they want to see, because in the past, this whole thing called weather, and they're preparing, like you said, yes, this avian flu and anthrax in the news, the dispersal of silica attached to viruses and to bacteria that will be inhaled and we will be impaled within our own system with only a certain amount of, and listen, folks, for those of you who think you're going to take the vaccine for anthrax and a lot of these others, you better look and make sure it ain't got none of that fluorine in it or fluoride in it. But that stuff is really bad, and it causes tendonitis, and next thing you know, your Achilles tendons will be rupturing, and you'll be in a mess of trouble. What's the boss trying to tell you? The boss is trying to tell you that these guys have a plan, and they've made this plan a long time ago, and we're trying to get ahead of the class. We're trying to get to the head to tell everybody, hey, look at what's going on. We have an intelligence problem. So let's look at the intelligence, and today it's very difficult because, you know, you can go CIA, but it's not just them. They've been absorbed. Everything is now one big happy family after 2001. They tried to do this a long time ago. Congress said, we got to somehow not keep an eye on you guys. And with the Carver commissions of the 50s, we found out how close political and gambling and all the rest of that is and the whole thing. Then, when you look back, you can see how other people from other countries have come over here, and without any intelligence whatsoever, they could put two and two together. There was a writer way back when, and he visited back in during World War II that got censored. He wrote a book, Oh Pioneer, Pioneers, Oh Pioneers. Go look that one up, huh? Yeah, it escapes me. I could try and find, I have my notes here, where it is that I was talking about it. But, yeah, go Oh Pioneer, just type that in, and you'll find it. Yeah, in America, he was censored. He was censored because he was talking about German restaurants. He was censored because he was talking about scientific communities and University of Chicago's in the Chicago Tribune. Uh-huh. And when you think about that, and you think about the McCormick and Patterson connection, and when you think about that, you think about the fact that Rockefeller and McCormick married, and that was newspaper, and that was news. And then three grandchildren all running papers in New York, Washington, and Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great work. Yeah, and when you put it all together, you can just see how incestuous it really is. And that in itself will lead you to a real happy ending. And this is it. It is important that we make them stick around. That's why my whole scenario that I started out with is that, just for a second, let's think that either McCain or Obama, one of the choices that we have, is pretty savvy and pretty much has prayed to God like we're praying to God. And on the day that they raise their hand and put their hand on the Bible, what they do is that they turn around and they arrest the vice president, the former vice president and president and Congress. And Nancy Pelosi stands up and says, oh, yeah, now's a good time to go after them, and let's get on with the business of running this country. The whole world would probably, even the Illuminati probably stand up and say, what a bold move. Boy, I didn't even see that one coming. Take them some time, especially if you can get the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all those guys that didn't want to go to war in the first place because they knew it was going to be a long time and they knew they wasn't ready. And I'm telling you, all these rush wars, it's important that you start reading, and I want everybody to at least look at the opening prologue. Just read the prologue to Plan of the Attack, because there it's very clear that it's George Bush who asked for the war plan. It was Donald Rumsfeld who wanted to modernize our army. And today, like Don Nikoloff has told you all, is that there are threats to our aircraft, that we could lose 5,000 men. This was threatened way back in the 80s. They see a protracted, limited thermonuclear war in the Turkish Straits. You want havoc? You want to turn the whole world around? Do that. Or have a conflict on the Caspian Sea. Yeah, anywhere you look at it, you're poisoning and tainting the world. It's important for you to understand that. And they are handing us our heads. You know, that's kind of important because 8, that's Dr. Len's favorite number. Now, 8888088, that's when the Olympics started. I mean, everybody's working this 8, this infinity, this thing, this go round and round and to the point. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I was a big fan of Isaac Hayes. I was a big fan of Curtis Mayfield. I was a big fan of a lot of people. And I just, you know, these men, they all died untimely deaths, like my Sam Cooke and my other men and women in my life that sang for me, you know, and got me up and singing. These are the memories that we have, you know, and the music that we share and the music that is coming forth and will be inspired by those who are you know, still here and remember. And so with that, it's important that one look at it from a real point of view to say, we the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. And that in itself is a big deal, folks. So great is this day for all who kept faith and grateful fathers, for that is their faith. Someone said long ago we would have to decide exactly when we would take this ride. Someone said surely down on earth it would be a mystery. So we filled the earth with clues because we knew even then who would win and who would lose. Yes, this is it, America. You know what you have to do. You have to cut you know what. And stop giving everybody the blues. What can I say to you that hear and have ears to hear? Do it. And do it now. For we don't have much time. And soon enough, my goodness, it will all be very clear. So, with that, I guess I'm going to run a tight hour here. We're coming up to 6:59. This is Mission Possible, and I am the boss. And I hope that you'll listen to Dr. Len's show. Comes on Tuesday, same time as this, 12 o'clock midnight, 9 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Hawaii. And understand that when we look at it, we'll do it. So with that, I'll leave you with a little Beethoven.